Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam International with me, Suraya Chauhan. You're listening to the program Productive Muslima, and on the program last week we spoke about forgiveness, and the week before on the qualities of Ar-Rahman. Now when we discussed talking and asking Allah for forgiveness, we discussed knowing the qualities of Allah. So Ghafoor, who is Ghafoor, and then understanding Allah's qualities, and that is the only way we will be able to absorb and ask Allah for forgiveness and actually understand who Allah is. So with the same, keeping in the same thought pattern, when we speak about Jannah and Jahannam, which we are going to speak about today, when we speak about Jannah and Jahannam, we need to understand firstly what Allah says about it. We have to educate ourselves and understand what we are looking for and what we are trying to avoid in this world to attain Jannah and to keep away, obviously, from Jahannam. And then only can we be sincere in asking Allah for Jannah. It's no, it doesn't make any sense asking for something that you don't dearly know about, or you don't have even an indication what it is about. That is why in the Quran, Allah gives us these beautiful, beautiful examples of what Jannah is, and details, graphic details of what Jahannam is, so that we know what to avoid. Subhanallah, Allah is so merciful that He tells us about it in advance and then tells us to make the choice of where we would want to be. And we know that this dunya is a test. Everything that we do in this dunya is a test. So we know that this is just a preview of what is going to come later, if you will. This is what we're going to be attaining, and this is going to basically be our examination, and the ultimate place that we're going to reach, inshallah, will be Jannah. And we will try as much as possible to avoid Jahannam, but we can only do that if we know what they are about. So inshallah, our first segment, our first half of the program, we will be discussing Jahannam and what it entails, so that we know what we are avoiding, and the fear enters our hearts so that we don't actually do anything to sabotage Jannah. So firstly, why is it so easy for us to sin? And ulama say that the reason that it's so easy for us to sin is that the yaqeen, the belief of the akhirah, has not entered our hearts. And this is obviously, this is the only rational explanation, because a person who sins and sins and sins and has no feeling or no guilt or conscience, it has to do with the belief system. It has to do with the belief that, you know, Jannah and Jahannam may not be real things. You know, sometimes our yaqeen, you know, it's so far away and it's so far-fetched that sometimes we don't actually believe in it. And this is the problem that most of us face, is that we think because we can't see it, it's not going to happen. And this is why Quran is so important. Quran is a dhikr, it's a reminder for us that when we recite the Quran, these understandings, these reminders enter us, and we realize more and more that this is indeed true. We always believe in Allah's promises, we believe in Allah's words, and when we read the Quran, we see that Allah is speaking about these things. This is not a fairy tale, or, you know, something that's just made up that we heard from generation to generation. No, this is coming directly from Allah. And so we understand, and the fear enters our hearts, which is why we have to study Quran and we have to learn and know about these things, so that we can, obviously, these things can enter our hearts and we can do what Allah has intended for us to do. So what is it in Ramadan that we need to increase in this month? Firstly, there are four things in Ramadan that we need to increase. The first one is excessive dhikr of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This comes in hadith. The second thing is to seek forgiveness from Allah, which we spoke about elaborately last week. the qualities of Allah and how to seek forgiveness. So this would be number two. These are the excessive things that you need to fulfill in Ramadan. The third thing is to beg Allah for Jannah. And when we say beg, excessively beg Allah for Jannah. And the fourth is to seek protection from Jahannam excessively. Right? So this is in its excessive sincere form, not just to say, Ya Allah, give me Jannah, Ya Allah, you know, I don't want to go to Jahannam. It has to be sincere where you beg Allah, Allah, I want you this month, you promise that you will send us to Jannah, and please make me of those who enter Jannah. And Ya Allah, I don't ever want to see Jahannam. I don't ever want to smell Jahannam. Ya Allah, keep me away from Jahannam. So this is the four things that we need to increase in this month. So it's a dhikr, forgiveness, beg Allah for Jannah, and seek protection from Jahannam. So Hassan Basri, radiallahu anhu, he said, a person who says to Allah, Ya Allah, I desire Jannah. I want Jannah. But he doesn't make any effort to actually show that he wants Jannah. This person is a liar. And Hasan Basri says that a person who asks for Allah to save him from Jahannam, and then he doesn't do anything to actually to show that he wants to be saved from Jahannam. In fact, he does things where he's actually seeking Jahannam. He's asking for Jahannam. This person is a liar. Which means that we need to be so sincere. Our actions have to be in line with what we are, with what we are asking. So if we ask for Jannah, what are we doing actually to attain this paradise? What are we doing to attain this Jannah? Jannah and Jahannam are both created already. And both are calling out to Allah. Both are asking Allah, you know, I'm ready, I'm complete, Ya Allah, send me my inhabitants. Jannah is saying, my rivers are gushing, my fruits have ripened, Ya Allah, send me the inhabitants. And Jahannam is saying, my adab is ready, send me my inhabitants. So it's already created. And this is the scary part, is that that is why from now we need to ask Allah, save us from Jahannam, save us. We don't even want to smell Jahannam. We don't even, you know, sometimes we have this this attitude that it's fine, it's just a little while that we're going to go to Jahannam if I do this, and it's okay. But this is the attitude of the Jews, and this is not the attitude we should have, that we should make the dua, Ya Allah, I don't want to see it, I don't want to smell it. Not even a little time, because even a little time in Jahannam, spent in Jahannam, is horrific. So we shouldn't even want that. No sin should be worth going to Jahannam. No sin. No sin is worth going to Jahannam, right? So we know that Jannah is surrounded by difficulties and Jahannam is surrounded by temptation. So the actual exam, as we say, is very easy. We know that if you want to go to Jahannam, it's easy. All you have to do is do the wrong things and you go to Jahannam, and it's easy, it's surrounded by temptation. So follow your desires and that will lead you to Jahannam. Jannah is difficult, surrounded by tests, and those who stand firm while Allah is testing them, those that have lost children, those that have went through any sort of difficulty, financial difficulties, any other difficulties, and who have been standing firm and believing in Allah's promises, those will be promised Jannah. So we know exactly what we're looking for. And we know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the world is a prison for a believer and a paradise for a disbeliever. And we see that, you know, it's a prison for a believer. A believer, it's difficult. You have to perform salah all the time. You have to leave. You know, when you are enjoying yourself, you have to separate yourself from the situation. There's temptations. You have to be firm. And so it's a prison. It's you know, you have things to do. It's no holiday. There's every single day is an ibadah. It's a prison for a believer. It's difficult. And for a disbeliever, it's a paradise because you follow your whims and fancies. You follow your desires. You do whatever it is that you want to do. So this is why the tests, we already have like a memo of what to do to enter Jannah and what not to do. We have it. But as insan, we are forgetful. We forget. And that is why Allah reminds us constantly in the Quran about Jannah and about Jahannam. So we know that Jahannam, for 70 years, Jahannam was burning. It was white, and then after a while it was red, and then for the next 70 years it burned black. Right? So at the moment, Jahannam is currently black. So at one point, Jahannam is going to tell Allah that, you know, it's so hot that my fire is eating the fire. That is how hot it is. Complaining to Allah. So Allah said to Jahannam that I will allow you once a year to cool down, right? So twice you can breathe out. And this is why we feel the intense heat in summer and we feel bitter, bitter cold. You know, when it's extremely cold, there's the dua to read that you don't want to be of the inhabitants of Zamharir, and it's a cold place in Jahannam. These are the two times that Allah lets Jahannam breathe out and we get a feeling of it. So in that bitter cold and in the extreme heat, it's actually Allah allowing Jahannam to breathe out. Right? So this is also another scary thing. When we feel intense heat and intense cold, we should be able to think about what Jahannam is going to be like. We must think and reflect. Right? Now, there are different stages of Jahannam. And there's a difference of opinion on whether these are actual stages or, you know, what it entails exactly. But the thing is that Jahannam does have different types, and we see that in the Quran. Allah mentions a few, like Jaheem, which is a shallow, very, very shallow place where the Muslim sinners will be. And then there's Jahannam, which would be for mushriks or the hypocrites. And then we get Sa'ir, which is in Surah Mulk. Sa'ir, which is a bottomless, like a pit for fire worshippers. And then there's Saqr, there's Labor, there's Hawiyah, and there's Hutama. So there's different stages, just like how there are different stages in Jannah, there's different stages in Jahannam. And each level in Jahannam has different arab and different punishments, which are very, very, very extreme and very scary. We know that there would be huge hammers, the angels would be carrying huge hammers that would hit you on your fingers as you try to leave Jahannam. So we know these graphic details of Jahannam and of the snakes in Jahannam that would just bite a person, and for 40 years the skin would hurt and would burn. And we know about all the different atrocities in Jahannam, where there are different castles and each castle has a different type of punishment in Jahannam. Na'udhu billah. Allah save us from this. It's such a, the details are so graphic that should be enough for us to avoid it. And Allah gives us the things to do to avoid Jahannam. But as insan we constantly forget, and you know, we forget, but inshallah Allah grant us the ability to keep remembering, you know. We should make the dua, Allah, I don't want to see Jahannam for a little while or a long while. Allah loves people to say this dua, Ibadur Rahman, Allah is. So don't be like the Jews and say that it's just for a little while. Rather we say, Ya Allah, I don't want to see Jahannam for a little while or for a long while. Now Jahannam itself, right, each time a person is thrown in Jahannam, it gets hungrier and hungrier. And Allah calls out to Jahannam, are you full? And Jahannam replies and says, is there any more? Is there any more? So what in Surah Mulk, Allah explains how the fire becomes like an animal, the way it screams, the way this loud noise, like this howling noise that the fire makes. And each time a person is thrown inside, it's as if it's fuel for the fire. So the person is thrown inside and this fire engulfs you inside and gets huge, bigger and bigger, just you are the actual fuel for the fire. Na'udhu billah. It's such a terrible place to be. So another thing it does is it throws out sparks from the fire. The sparks come out. And the people of Jahannam, they will have clothes made of fire that they will wear. And they will be extremely hungry and extremely thirsty. But the food that they will be given, the food will be called zaqub, which is a food that is like mixed with pus, which is such a terrible thing that if a drop of it has to touch the earth, the entire earth will be destroyed. So we can't even imagine what this food must be like. Even the drink of Jahannam is boiling, boiling, boiling. So when you drink it, your intestines start to rip apart from yourself. So people in Jahannam are going to have this extreme, intense punishment that we can't even begin to describe. And we know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his uncle Abu Talib, would be in the lowest part of Jahannam, even the lowest punishment in Jahannam, which is that he'll be wearing shoes that will be made of fire that will cause his brain to boil. And this is supposedly the most, the easiest, basically, punishment to endure. And we know that the people of Jahannam, when they are going towards Jahannam, they will only get the breath of Jahannam. They wouldn't even enter yet. And they'll scream and say, "Ya Allah, you put me in the worst part of Jahannam," but they didn't even enter Jahannam yet. So we know already that this is the type of punishments. And there's all different types of punishment. Some will be dragging on their faces. Some they will be darkening on the faces, as if it's the darkness of the depth of the fire, because they were surrounded by sins. Allah will serve with fire in those people will sit and listen to this, and those people will then say, you know, look at the people of Jahannam, and they will look at them and say, you know, aren't you the person that admonished me to do good, and I'm sitting in Jannah, why aren't you here? And the inhabitant of Jahannam will reply and say, but you know, we didn't practice what we preach. So Allah make each one of us practice what we preach, so that we are not these inhabitants. The others in the other inhabitants of Jahannam will be carrying chains. Their arms will be tied to their necks. They will try to climb out, and the angels will keep knocking them down. Those who ignored Allah in this world, Allah will ignore them in the Akhirah. Allah will ignore them when they beg and they plead in Jahannam. So they will eventually beg Allah, "Ya Allah, destroy me. I can't take this anymore." Now these are details of Jahannam that come in the Quran. They're not fairy tales. They are in the Quran. And they are there for us to learn, because Allah, as we said, is a Rahman. Allah is so merciful that He doesn't want to see us in Jahannam. And obviously we have to follow Allah's commandments so that we can enjoy a few encounters of Jahannam. And we know that there are certain people that are going to enter Jahannam from hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say this person would be in the fire. And of them are, as we said, one who preached and forgot about himself, a person who missed their salah, very, very important, person who missed their salah, a woman who showed their hair. We know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken on Miraj, and he was shown people that were being punished, women that were being punished, and one was being hung by her hair, and the flames were engulfing her. And Jibreel alayhi sallam said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "This is a woman who did not see." She actually took pride in showing her hair to the opposite sex. And then the one that was hung by her tongue because of the way she spoke to her husband. So we know there are certain things that you do that drives you to Jahannam. And one day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Jibreel alayhi sallam that, "Please explain to me, what is Jahannam like?" And when Jibreel was busy explaining to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was such an intense description that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Jibreel alayhi salam, "Enough, Jibreel, enough. My heart is going to split if I hear any more." This is the state of a believer. We are supposed to every day of Jahannam. Another one that would enter Jahannam is a picture maker. one who would make pictures and, you know, people who take photographs and display them, and the one that who is actually being taken off. So those are picture makers, people who try and draw what Allah has created, human animate objects. Then another one is the one who committed suicide, who taken their own life, also one who breaks ties. And this is something so common in today's time that we're breaking ties with family members. We don't speak to them. We refuse. And Allah says these are the people that will enter Jahannam. So if we know that these are the people that will enter Jahannam, we should try and avoid this so that, we don't do these things so that we can, inshallah, attain Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. And in order to understand what Jannatul Firdaus is, we need to speak about it and we need to go back into the Quran and Hadith and explain what Jannah is. So inshallah, after the break, when we get back, we will be discussing Jannah inshallah and what to do to attain Jannah. Stay with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the program Productive Muslimah with me, Suraya Chauhan. So before the break, we spoke about the graphic details of Jahannam. And Allah save us from Jahannam and let us enter Jannah, inshallah. Now these are obviously the days to ask for Jannah and Jahannam. As we said, we have to increase our four ibadats during Ramadan. And one of them is to seek and beg Allah for Jannah and to ask Allah to save us from Jahannam. Now we did speak about Jahannam and now we're going on to speak about Jannah. And obviously to ask for Jannah, we need to understand what Jannah is. What is it that we're going to get? You know, sometimes we do certain tasks and our little kiddies do certain tasks. And what we do is, what they do is they ask for a reward at the end of it. What am I going to get? You know, what's my incentive? And so Allah is giving us our incentive. You know, all of this hardship and all of the things that you have to do in this dunya, it's not going to go unrewarded. You are going to be rewarded for every single act of goodness. It doesn't go, even a good intention gets rewarded. Alhamdulillah. So this is our task in the dunya, is to do everything that will grant us this easy entrance into Jannah. And it's not difficult to enter Jannah. Allah says, you know, Islam, our deen, was not made difficult. It was made easy. But we are the ones that actually make it difficult. So to understand Jannah, we must firstly, let's look at the dunya. Let's look at where we are in this dunya. And Allah tells us in the Quran that look around you and look at how I've subdued the earth for you and I've flattened it, and walk around and travel and experience what it is. And this is very important, is that when we travel and when we go on holidays and when we take walks, we have to look around us, because Allah constantly in Quran keeps telling us to reflect. He keeps telling us to look at everything around us. And this is important because we're looking at just the things that we want to see. The man-made things and, you know, things that are not going to make us reflect. And Allah constantly tells us, and He moves our gaze up to the sama, and He tells us, look at the sky. Look at the beautiful sky above you. Look at those stars. I have created it like lanterns. Allah says, masabih, like lanterns I've created them. Look at them and appreciate it. We are so busy in the dunya that we don't even look up at the sky, especially here in the cities. We don't even have time to look up and at the clear and open sky. So when we go to the countryside and we see the stars, you know, we appreciate it. But we should take time to reflect. And even if you're taking a walk with the little ones or you are walking, look up at the sky and just reflect and look at the sky and think of how beautiful this world is. If Allah created this beautiful blue sky that is spread across and is not being held by anyone or anything except Allah, then what must Jannah be like? Because Allah tells us, Jannah is like nothing you can ever imagine. So, subhanAllah, this is what the world is for. When we are busy in our lives, we stop and we reflect and we're getting a preview of what Jannah is. So when we go to a beautiful destination or beautiful island and look at it and we think, wow, this is magnificent. This is so beautiful. And then it brings you back and makes you think, but if this is so beautiful and I can imagine living here forever, then what must Jannah be like? Because Allah has stopped the human mind at a certain point where it can't even imagine Jannah. And Allah describes this in a hadith Qudsi, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah says, I have prepared for my righteous slaves what the eye has not seen, what the ear has not heard, and that which does not come to the mind of any person. Which means, your mind is created with a barrier. We think that like you don't get more intelligent than this. But actually, your mind has stopped. Allah has stopped it so that your mind can't even imagine what Jannah must be like. And then Allah describes the houses in Jannah. And Allah says it's created by the Creator. The bricks are gold and silver. The cement is musk. You will recognize your house in Jannah better than how you recognize your home in this world. Subhanallah, what a beautiful house you will have in Jannah. It will be like nothing you've ever imagined. Nothing. There will be such peace in Jannah that there will be no difficulties. There won't even be such a thing that, like going to the toilet. No impurity. It is only pure. So no such a thing as bleeding or getting hurt. Nothing. No form of pain. No form of discomfort at all. In its mildest form, nothing. Absolutely nothing. That is why in the dunya, that Allah says, even for a little ant that bites you, you know, you can hardly feel an ant that's on you. Allah says, even for that you will be rewarded. So small little pain you'll be rewarded. In Jannah, there will be absolutely no pain. And this makes you think of the people that are sick, the ill. And sometimes when you're sick and you're going through cancer or any disease, anything that you're going through, sometimes you think to yourself and you say, oh, you know, it's so difficult. What did I do? But don't think like this, because Allah says there is a special place in Jannah only for those that were ill in this dunya. And when you see that place, you will wish that you are one of those that were so ill. Even the ones that were ill will say, Allah, send me back. This is so worth it. But now because we can't see Jannah, it is at the back of our heads. So we don't actually perceive that, you know, this is my reward. We know, yes, people say, you know, make sabr, you're going to go to Jannah. And then you think to yourself, yeah, you know, what do they know? But Allah is describing it. So read the Quran, read it over and over again and reflect on how beautiful Allah is describing Jannah. And then you will understand that Allah wants such beauty for you that He's given you the sickness as a gift. Alhamdulillah. So these are the beautiful houses in Jannah. And then we get the rivers in Jannah that Allah describes in the Quran. Oceans. That the water will never get contaminated. Can you imagine what that water must be like? Then Allah describes the milk. It doesn't change. It's white. The rivers in Jannah are as whiter than the milk that we see. They are flowing over such beautiful rubies and pearls. What beautiful things they are flowing over. The honey is nothing like we've ever tasted in this dunya. And the wine is unlike anything you've ever tasted in this dunya. And it said that if you drink the wine of this world, then you will be deprived of the wine of the akhirah. And we know the wine of the akhirah is unlike anything someone has ever, ever tasted. It is so beautiful, so it quenches your thirst in such a way, and it doesn't intoxicate you, so it's unlike anything that we can ever imagine. This is how beautiful Jannah is. And then we know that the Hurul Ain, which Allah describes in the Quran, the Hurul Ain, which are called the wide-eyed females. So they have big, huge, black. The pupils are black and the white of their eyes are extremely white. So unlike anything that we've ever seen. And each man will have two of these, two of whose, two wives. And obviously the men love hearing about this and, you know, joke around with their wives about the Qurul Ayn. And alhamdulillah, Allah knows why he puts such details in the Quran about the Hud, because he knows what attracts men. And when Allah speaks about the about Jannah to woman, what does he describe? Allah describes, you know, the things that woman would like. All the beauty and the woman love. And obviously to the men, what appeals to them is what is appealing to the men. And Allah says, she will fill this world with her scent and beauty. That is how, if even a finger of hers has to touch this dunya, it would be something so amazing, right? The entire world will be filled with her scent. That is how beautiful the women are. They are chaste and modest, and they only look at their husbands. They wear rubies and corals. And they are virgin women that have never ever been touched, with such beautiful voices that they will sing to their husbands. Alright? So, however you want her to be, she will be. So you want her to be tall, she will be able to be tall. You want her to be shorter, you can make her shorter. It's exactly what you want. Your eyes, or how your eye wants to perceive her, she will adjust to your eye. Subhanallah, imagine that could really happen in this dunya, right? It's something that you can't even imagine. It's like a fantasy. But we believe in Allah's promises that you look at this and you think, wow, I can't wait to experience these things where a tree will lower itself and offer you its fruit, right? I mean, you wait for all of these beautiful things to happen and you think this is how Jannah must be, how beautiful Jannah is. And we know that you will have a river in Jannah with faces flowing in the river. And you can choose which face you want to put on which day. And then we also know, we heard about in Jannah, you will have a place in Jannah where you will be able to see Allah. Obviously, only certain people, the ones that were the closest to Allah. Allah, you will be able to see Allah depending on how close you were in this world. And it said that the first row, like, you know, those premium seats right in the front to see Allah, are those people that would be nearest to the Imam in the masjid, or closest to the Imam in the masjid, right? So, we know what we need to do to gain closeness to Allah on that day. And it said that Jannah is so beautiful, such a beautiful place, but it will be nothing compared to when you see Allah. On a Jummah, you will see Allah's face, He will reveal Himself, and it will be unlike anything that you've experienced in Jannah. So how beautiful must Allah be? Subhanallah, nothing that we can imagine, obviously. In the hadith it says, if a woman prays five times a day, fasts in Ramadan, guards her chastity and obeys her husband, she can enter from any door in Jannah. And we know there are many, many doors in Jannah, and there's difference of opinion on the names and all of that. But we know that there's also different levels in Jannah, which we will speak about. Okay, so normally the man is the seeker and the woman is sought. Right? So in Jannah, this doesn't apply. Everyone will get what they desire. Everyone. So on that day, on that level where you are, you will actually look and meet all of your progeny. So people that came before you and people that came after you. How great must this be? So you always wanted to know, where along the line did I... How am I Muslim today? Where along the line, if you Indian, then where along the line did which forefather of mine change from Hindu to Muslim? And you would obviously want to meet that man because he's responsible for you being Muslim today. It's his Shahada that had come. So you want to meet him and you meet these people and then you'll meet your progeny. If you passed away, all of your great, 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 great grandchildren, all of them you will get to meet in Jannah. And subhanAllah, Allah is so merciful that if you are in Jannah and if one of your family that you love is not in Jannah, out of Allah's mercy, you will be able to bring that family member onto your level in Jannah. And that is why we see a lot of people in these little posts on Instagram and Facebook and all of that. They have these little posts that say, if you don't find me in Jannah, then ask for me. This comes from here, that if you don't find and you want someone with you in Jannah, then subhanAllah, all you have to do is ask Allah, and Allah out of His mercy for you will let that person come. So see your good deeds as a family, in a family, it actually, a family unit, there are rewards and merits in it because you can pull each other towards Jannah. This is how beautiful and merciful Allah is, right? So the levels of Jannah, there's obviously huge gaps between each stages, and the distance is like the distance between the earth and the sky, between one and another, right? So four types of people Allah has favored in Jannah, and that is the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous, right? So Allah has already told us that these people are favored. And now there are different gates where you can enter. So there will be Babu Salah. If you are a person who constantly reads Salah, you will enter from that gate. Babu Jihad, if you are a martyr. Babu Sadaqah, if you are someone who always gave charity. Babu Rayyan, a person who constantly fasted, will enter through that door. Babu Hajj, Babu Iman, Babu Dhikr. So depending on what you did a lot, what was loved by Allah, you will enter through that stage. And then there are different levels, it said, and there's Iliyun, and then Salam, Maqam, Ma'wa, Na'im, Adn. Adn is the eternal place, but the highest level is Jannatul Firdaus. And when you ask, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in Hadith, when you ask for Jannah, always ask for Jannatul Firdaus. Jannatul Firdaus is unlike anything your eye has ever seen or your ear has ever heard. So ask Allah for that. Don't just say, I want Jannah. Ask Allah for Jannatul Firdaus. That is a level that is unlike any other level. It's the highest and it's the best. The throne of Allah is right above Firdaus, and from it springs forth rivers of paradise. So that is why Allah says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if you ask of Allah, ask Him of Firdaus. And how do we get Jannatul Firdaus? Jannatul Firdaus sets you apart from a normal and average believer. It's when you go that extra mile. So you're performing salah, but you're not just performing salah. You're performing salah with khushu, where your heart and your tongue coincide. Your heart is solely and fully in the salah. You have to set your the things that make your heart pain to do. Sometimes it's so difficult for you to just cover your hair, to wear a hijab. But because of this constant inner struggle, it's as if you are a martyr, you are constantly struggling. Allah recognizes this as striving. These are things that enter you into Firdaus. We don't want an average Jannah. Go the extra mile so that you can get Jannah to Firdaus. So there's many ways of entering Jannah, and a few things are to pray on time, to perform your sunnah prayers. The poor will be a lot of people, inhabitants of Jannah will be the poor, just rulers, the righteous, those that are truthful, those that were martyred, that fought in the path of Allah or that died in the path of Allah, those that build masajid, those that perfect their wudu, those that have good character. So these are all things, are ways of entering Jannah, to pay off your zakah, to turn away from ill speech, to be attentive to your promises. You keep your promises. So these are natural good qualities that we can have that will enter us into Jannah. And we know Asiya made an absolutely beautiful dua where she said, Ya Allah, I want a house near you in Jannah. So ask for whatever you want and Allah will answer you. She asked, and think of Jannah as a reality, as something that is true, that I want to see this prophet in Jannah, I want to meet this person in Jannah. You know, I want to see this Sahaba, I loved him so much. When I read about him, I want to meet him. And the angels, you will be able to, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about one of the Sahaba that he saw, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him in Jannah flying with one of the angels. How beautiful must that be? So all of the hardship will pay off at the end. and a beautiful dua to recite is, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannata wa a'udhu bika minan nar. Oh Allah, I ask you for Jannah and I ask you to save me from the fire of Jahannam, inshallah. So we've reached the end of our program. And until next week Tuesday, inshallah, where we will be discussing our next segment for Ramadan, our last and final segment, inshallah, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.